coming soon to own on video and DVD.
When I look out into your eyes out there, when I look out into your faces, you know what I see? I see a little bit of Elvis in each and every one of you out there. Let me tell you, well, Elvis is everywhere.
In a world where one man has seen every movie, there's one woman who's seen hardly any. Together, this unlikely duo must review all the best films she's never seen.
Michael J. Fox has no Elvis in him.
Elvis is everywhere.
Starring Jack Spade as the hero we didn't ask for, and Leanne Foster as the damsel who doesn't know shit. Huntsville Home Video, now playing.
Elvis.
Thank you, man.
Week number two of Elvis Month. The King was all about that TCB. We are all about that TCP. Taking care of podcasting here at Huntsville Home Video.
I want to hate it, but I love it.
Would you put that on a belt buckle?
I'll put anything on a belt buckle.
Yeah. Well, now you diminish it a little bit when you say you put anything on a belt buckle.
Well, anything Elvis on a belt, anything that comes out of your mouth, I will put on a belt buckle. How about that?
Big dummy stupid head.
I just want, hey man, on my belt buckle.
Hey, man. Two exclamation points.
Absolutely.
It's a little bit more than one, but not quite as many as three.
No.
That's the proper, hey man. Two exclamation points.
Perfect amount of emphasis.
Or if it was Elvis themed, the exclamation points would be like little lightning bolts with the period at the bottom.
I like that.
Diamond encrusted.
That's how I'm going to make my belt buckle.
Yes.
It's already being made.
Now we need, we're like 3 minutes into this podcast. Not even. We need belt buckle makers.
We need belt buckle makers. Is that what they're called? Belt buckle makers. Belt buckle
belt
makers.
Buckleists.
Belt buckleists. I feel like this is a warm up. You know what I mean?
A belt buckle smith.
Yeah. What do you do for a living, sir? I'm a belt buckle smith.
Ooh, could you put some diamond encrusted exclamation points in the shape of lightning bolts on a belt buckle, sir? Can I?
Sir, I will, because I'm a belt buckle smith.
I'm a belt buckle smith. Man, how random to have met you at this Circle K.
I feel like all belt buckle smiths hang out at Circle K's.
Uh-huh.
For real.
I need to go to a Circle K and start scanning for patrons with great belt buckles.
We need to find the belt buckle smith at our local Circle K.
Because you know if someone wears a belt buckle of some class.
Uh-huh.
They tuck that shirt in so you can see that belt buckle.
There's no sense in having a belt buckle unless you're letting the world see it.
Correct.
You know?
I had, and I think I've lost, like, it was lost in a move or it's stuck in a box somewhere. I legitimately had an Elvis diamond encrusted belt buckle. It just said Elvis.
Oh my God.
With like the fake silver diamonds on it, rhinestones or whatever. It was probably about, I don't know, like not quite championship belt size.
Uh-huh.
But it had some heft to it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why are you not wearing that every day?
I don't know.
That's ridiculous.
I fucked up.
You have your Elvis shades,
mm-hmm.
and you refuse to pair it with your belt buckle?
Yep.
Where's your damn jumpsuit, you fiend?
Yeah. You've shown me the error of my ways.
My God. Why didn't you wear that when you officiated your friend's wedding with your Elvis jacket?
I don't know.
And your Elvis glasses.
God, I fucked up.
You did, man.
I'll have it when they renew their vows in a few years.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
All right. Now you got to renew your vows so that you can dress up for the
bam.
It's just all dress up for Jack Spade.
Elvis month, baby. It is
anyway.
Elvis month here at Huntsville Home Video. We being myself, Jack Spade, Leanne Foster across from me.
Yep.
Huge Elvis fans.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited for the Elvis movie coming out June 24th.
We are.
And we decided, you know what? We got this little podcast thing. We're going to keep the trend alive of showing Leanne movies that she's never seen, a trend we've had going for roughly like 100 and some odd episodes.
105?
Yeah, I think so.
103. We're two minus.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. Whatever.
That's right. Hashtag COVID. So we're going to show her some movies about Elvis this month, leading up to the Elvis movie on June 24th. And then kind of a break from format. We'll both be seeing a movie that we have not seen.
Yeah.
That would be Elvis, for those of you paying attention.
We're going to cry a lot. I've got Kleenexes ready.
Are they Elvis Kleenex?
Oh, shit. I missed the boat again.
Damn it.
Damn it. You fucked up with your belt buckle. I have fucked up with the Kleenexes.
Okay. All right.
Find your belt buckle. I'll find Elvis Kleenexes. We'll be ready. We'll be ready and redeemed.
I don't even know if I'd want to use them. I can't disrespect the king's icons like that.
I have superhero ones.
That's fair.
Can we do that?
We can.
All right. We'll take our superheroes.
All right. Gonna get emotional in this bitch.
Just us with a bucket of popcorn and a slushy and like Kleenexes.
Fuck yeah.
We're ready.
God. They always for the big Marvel movies, they always come out with limited edition popcorn buckets. If I swear to God, if I go to this theater and there's a TCB popcorn bucket,
we're getting them.
I will fight a motherfucker for one.
Mm-hmm.
Fight. Grown man fights other grown man for Elvis popcorn bucket at Huntsville Movie Theater.
We have a witness. I was just standing there with my popcorn, and all of a sudden, this guy comes out of nowhere, and he was like, I need a bucket, and just hopped over the counter.
I said, I'm sorry, sir. We just sold the last one to that guy. I'm like, whose ass am I kicking?
He, like, flipped his popcorn, grabbed his bucket. Kicked him, pow, pow.
This is mine now. Use my karate on
you. I don't know who he was, but he had on Elvis glasses and an Elvis belt buckle.
That was a good-looking Elvis belt buckle, I swear to God. He must have had a professional belt buckle smith make that.
That's so stupid. It's so dumb what we've done here today for just the first 5 fucking minutes.
It's so dumb, but knowing you, within the next 6 months, you are going to be in a situation where you meet someone with a belt buckle, and out of nowhere, you're going to be like, did you have that done by a professional belt buckle smith?
Hey, sir, I hate to bother you, but let me ask you a question. Who is your belt buckle smith? Because he does a damn good job.
Oh, that was Randy Oakwood of...
Randy Oakwood, you say, is your special belt buckle smith?
Yeah, okay. I actually have his card. And then, sure as shit, on his card, Randy Oakwood, belt buckle smith. And you're like, son of a bitch, Jack Spade. Huh.
Jack Spade knows what he's talking about.
Son of a bitch.
Once again, call you up. Hey, man.
2 exclamation points.
Did you know belt buckle smiths are real?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Great talk.
Bye.
Well, friend, shit. let's get into movie number 2 of Elvis month. You didn't really care for Bubba Ho-Tep last week.
I'm sorry. I didn't care for Elvis, a poor Elvis impersonation fighting mummies. What a shocker.
Well, I mean, on brand. Okay.
It is on brand. It was on brand for me not to like it.
So today I'm hoping we rebound, because I would really hate to be 0-2 in Elvis month.
Yeah,
so,
I would hate it too.
So, oh, shit. Sometimes you make a face and I don't know if I like it.
I've heard that a lot in my life.
Well, sorry to keep the trend continuing on that one.
Hey, man, on brand.
So today we went with a movie called Elvis and Nixon, a movie starring Michael Shannon as Elvis, Kevin Spacey as President Nixon.
That was a surprise. Didn't know I was going to get some Kevin Spacey.
So here's something funny for you. When I suggested we watch the movie last week, I forgot Kevin Spacey was Nixon in this one.
Oh, fun times.
Because there was another movie that came out around this time with Nixon in it, and a different actor played Nixon. And I was thinking him in my head for some reason. Mm-hmm. And then when I went to go rewatch it for the pod, I'm like, oh shit, Kevin Spacey's in there. Huh. And then like 20 minutes into the movie, I was thinking, this is probably a pretty clean set. Every dude on here was pretty old.
I see how you mean clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a lot of diddling.
I mean, you know, Evan Peters looks young, so he might have like tried to dabble.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, he's got that little baby face sometimes. He might have dibble dabbled. he might have done a little touchy touch.
I don't like dibble dabbled.
Dibble dabble is the grossest thing I've ever said.
In reference to Kevin Spacey? Yes.
Pretty much, yeah. That's so terrible.
Now, if you say like, hey, Jack, have you ever done bird watching? I'm like, I dibble dabbled a little bit.
Not a problem.
Completely fine. Hey, Kevin Spacey, I don't like it when he dibble dabbles.
Dibble dabbling in what?
No.
We don't want to know. We don't know. No. That's gross.
No.
I'm sorry, everybody.
That's all right.
I apologize.
But Elvis and Nixon, a movie about the actual occurrence, my favorite Elvis occurrence, where late model Elvis just clearly not in touch with reality. I love the King, but goddamn.
Yeah.
Like, he went to some places.
I learned
places.
Some things.
Did you?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the long and short of it, Elvis Presley just like, I'm fucking go meet the president because I'm Elvis Presley and goddamn it, I want a badge. And,
I want a badge.
And let's get after it. This was a real thing. This actually happened and they made a movie about it. It was called Elvis and Nixon. Leanne, you just watched it for the first time. What did you think about Elvis and Nixon?
Can I be really honest with you?
Please do.
Because I usually am.
Yes.
When I started this, I went, I'm going to hate this. And then I didn't hate it.
Okay.
I liked the movie.
Okay.
It was mind-blowing. It was bewildering. It was hilarious. It made me love him more in such an odd way. If this is really true, then I really enjoyed the movie.
Yes.
There were things I didn't care for, but I enjoyed the movie overall. It
Good
won
deal.
Me over. Yeah.
All right.
I'll tell you where it started off wrong on the wrong foot. Can I just mention this really
Please
quick?
Please do.
So I went to watch it, and I searched for it. I couldn't rent it. I had to buy it for $13
oh,
to watch
shit.
This movie. And I literally went, Jack Spade, you son of a bitch!
You
click buy.
You could have texted me. I'd have given you my Apple password, and I bought this movie like 5 years ago.
Well, son of a bitch, I didn't think about it because grandma doesn't know her technology well. So I was already pissed at that, and I was like, God damn it, I've just spent $13 on this shit movie, and blah, 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 blah. And then I was like, Michael Shannon, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, oh, shit, he went to the airport? And then I loved it.
He went to the airport?
He went to
I'm
the
in.
Airport? He shot up some TVs. He went to the airport and just wanted a flight for Las Vegas and showed a badge, or Los Angeles and showed a badge? Fuck yeah, let's go.
Hell yeah.
It won me back, and that fast.
All right.
Yeah. I'm Do you like my train of thought? Do you
yep.
like how I work?
I do. Had Elvis not gone to the airport, I'd have still been pissed about that $13.
If he hadn't walked into that airport like an ordinary man wanting a flight, I wouldn't have gotten on board.
Like an ordinary man dressed as Elvis Aaron Presley in 1975.
With his pieces and his fucking badge.
Yeah.
As his only identification.
All those badges on display at Graceland.
Oh. Did I see that when I went years ago?
No, because it, so when you were there years ago, they didn't have, so across,
I was like probably 8 or
yeah.
9, so this was 98, 99.
So recently, within the last, I don't know, like 5, 6 years, there across the street from Graceland, where they had the planes,
yeah.
they've added all kinds of exhibits and museums, and there's a convention center, and they have, like, they set up different displays, so it's like we're gonna do the 68 comeback special. So they had a chunk of the stage, the actual stage from the 68 comeback special. You could see the scuffs on it.
Oh my god.
And then they had, here are the cars of Elvis Presley.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the little knickknacks and random stuff like that. He was a big fan of Mountain Dew or whatever, like the regional Mountain Dew was. So they had mm-hmm. random cases of Mountain Dew that were in his estate after he passed.
Oh my god.
So like they had all that stuff on display. And then one of the things you can check out are all of his fucking badges.
Oh my god.
They're all on display. They're on a wall. The picture that we see later in the movie that Elvis gives to Nixon with him and the Memphis Mafia.
Yeah.
That's blown up huge.
Ugh.
And then all the badges are around it.
Oh my god, that's so cool.
Fucking Tits McGee.
God, I got to go back.
Yes.
I've got to go back.
We're
as
going.
As a weeping adult.
We're going.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm
so
ready.
So you said you learned some things.
I did not know this story.
Okay.
I only knew, I've seen the picture, obviously, of him and Nixon.
Knew none of the backstory
together.
Behind it.
The only thing I knew was that he showed up to the White House and he wanted to meet Nixon. That's all I knew about it. I didn't know why. I just thought, oh, it's the president, so he wanted to meet Nixon. And obviously, Nixon wanted to meet him because it's Elvis. So they took a picture together while they met. That's all I fucking knew. I did not know why he went. I did not know how that... So this is... I'm sure there's dramatic things because it's a movie, but right. this is pretty much really the story. This is really why he went to the White House.
That was a lot of it. He wanted... Elvis wanted to be a narc.
That's an agent, a federal agent at large.
At large.
Do those exist?
Which apparently was a thing. Like, every even like White House officials, like, that's not a thing. Actually, sir, that
is
a thing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's always one guy that knows whether it really is or it really isn't.
Yeah. Because we mentioned, you know, last week we've talked about before, Elvis really was the first person in recorded history to be that famous.
Right.
And how would that affect one's mind?
You'd go to some crazy places.
What would that do to you?
It would make me go to the Memphis airport to go get a badge from the president.
Yeah.
To just think that I could do that. And also through the movie, even how he is with his buddies, with Jerry and the other guy. I can't remember his
Sonny
name.
Sonny West.
Sonny West. Just how he is and just expects things and expects the people around him to behave and what he should have and what he, I mean, it's understandable how he is, how he was, well, and how he just thought he could do what he did.
Not only that. And this is what kind of breaks my heart about the king. So Jerry, it was like a true friend of the king.
Yeah.
And you know, he was on that inner circle. And at a certain point, Elvis, you know, he's like, I don't know. I can't trust these people. Like,
no.
my manager, I can't trust. I can't, like, no. every person. And he even says it in the movie, and it's fucking heartbreaking, where he's like, you walk into a room and people see Jerry. I walk into a room and they see a thing. They're looking at a Coke bottle.
They see their, I love how he put it. He said, they see their first kiss. They see where my music was playing in the background. They see their breakup with their sweetheart. They see that, but they don't see me. And it's like them being able to see what they see with him is an amazing thing, but it means nothing because he isn't seen as a human being.
And that was heartbreaking.
That I cried during that because that hit me hard.
And within the realm of this movie, that comes almost out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Because Elvis is just getting ready to go meet the president.
Right.
Jerry's kind of wrangling him up and everything. And then he just turns and gives this little monologue.
Mm-hmm. He's getting ready. He starts with the hairspray. And he's like, I'm a grown man. I think it was wearing hairspray.
Yeah, he's
and
like, this is my hair dye. Like, you know, hey, I got hemorrhoid cream. And it's for my eyes. Mm-hmm. Like, for the puffy eyes. And
all of the things it takes to make him what he is.
Uh-huh.
Or what the thing that he is.
And so if you're going to tell me that level of fame would not do something to you, you're wrong.
You're wrong.
You're so wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll tell you this. I'm in the grand scheme of things. I'm fucking nobody. 20 years ago, someone in Huntsville, when our radio station first went on the air, asked me for an autograph. I thought they were joking and they weren't.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, man, if I can sign an autograph. I had a big head about that for 15 years.
That checks.
Yeah. I would be a monster if I had Elvis level fame.
A little bit.
I'd be just like, I'm like, you know, there's a great scene in the movie where he's about to go meet Nixon and Nixon's aides are telling him the protocol for meeting the president, and Elvis's boys are telling Nixon's aides the protocol for meeting Elvis.
It's so good. First of all, the way they shot it was great, the back and forth. And then to hear some of the shit of like, don't touch the president's Dr. Pepper or the M&M's, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, if Elvis keeps his sunglasses on, just know you need to keep speaking. I can't remember what it was. Like, he's not going to speak to you, essentially.
If he takes the sunglasses off, you're getting a bear hug.
You're getting a bear hug. And I'm like, oh, shit, is this real? And then I was like, oh, my God, I want to go back and watch every Elvis thing and see if I see those movements,
right?
You know? Right.
Yeah, that's
amazing.
That's the kind of shit I'd be on. Like,
right.
he had a guy, Charlie Hodge, brought him his scarves and his water.
Yep.
I would have that. I need someone bringing me my scarves and my water.
I would be your scarf and water gal.
Ooh, you got competition.
Oh, wait, okay, well, you know what? If you just, that's fine. If you have a place for me in your mafia,
yeah, absolutely.
I'll be the spade squad or whatever you want to call it. I'm happy to fulfill the place.
But I mean, just imagine that level of, again, fame and almost royalty to have those people. Like, you can just do whatever you want.
You literally can do whatever you want.
You can show up at an airport with guns, yeah, you're going to get detained because, I mean, there are still technically laws, but you make a couple calls and you're out of that shit.
I can't believe my big note from that was that bitch turned him in.
Right?
I'd have never turned in Elvis. Mm-hmm. I would have even asked for identification.
Right.
What are we talking about?
And when he did get give the identification and it was just a badge.
I'd have been like, you're clear.
That's legit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on through, King.
Can I hold your guns? Possibly your wiener? What do you want?
Not right now, ma'am. I have a plane to catch.
All right.
I understand, King.
I understand, King. I see you, King.
I see you, King.
Oh, my God. It's a fantastic story.
Amazing story. So good. So good.
Yeah.
Would you now be inclined to go back and learn more about
yes.
that era Elvis?
Yes. That behavior in that era, absolutely. Yeah.
I am wondering how much of that we're going to get in the upcoming Elvis movie.
That's what I'm curious about, too. Because this is kind of brand new to me as well. I think we know how much I put him on a pedestal, so I don't know a lot of the shit, even though it's fascinating and it's won me over, but I'm like, oh, makes a lot of sense.
And I put him on the same pedestal that you do. He's just as high
right,
in my head
exactly.
as yours. But like I said, I like the good with the bad.
You do too. And this kind of changed my perspective.
Right?
I'm like, okay, I fucking love this
because
shit.
Because it's fascinating.
It is. It's human.
I love the idea of the young 50s, 60s, like pre-army Elvis. Mm-hmm. He's just so polite. Like the nation loves him.
Right.
He's like, yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Oh, this and that. You know, I'm just a poor old boy from Memphis, Tennessee.
Right.
But like, as fame went on, that's the good shit.
That's the
good meaty
shit.
Bits right there.
Right.
Fucking love it all.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
What did you think of Michael Shannon as Elvis?
I was not really impressed with his Elvis.
Okay.
I don't think he, well, first of all, I hated the hair. I feel like the hair was really bad.
That was the era. That was the time.
I know, but it was worse than real life. It looked like it just really looked like a wig and I didn't appreciate it at all. He doesn't look like Elvis.
Give you that.
He's a lot more weathered in that movie than Elvis was. I feel like. Didn't sound like Elvis to me that much. You can't just put a man at the end of every sentence and think you're Elvis. But he did a good, he still did a good job. I feel weird about it because I didn't think he was that great, but yet I latched on to him because I latched onto it more than I thought I was going to.
See, and I did too when they first announced this movie and they're like, hey, Michael Shannon's Elvis. I'm like, really?
Which we like Michael Shannon.
We do.
I like Michael Shannon, but I'm like,
I like to think of Michael Shannon as one of our great yelling actors. He can yell and scream, and he's so intense.
He's intense. He's intimidating. He commands. When he's angry, it's like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a good intense actor.
Oh, I'm gonna sit down. Sorry, man. Sorry. So hearing that, I was like, I don't know if I could see that as Elvis, but then the first time I watched this movie, completely won over. You're everything that you said is correct, and I agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, I think his Elvis is less of a cartoon.
Yes, that he was not a caricature of Elvis.
Right.
He seemed more human. Does that make sense?
Like absolutely.
He was more personal, and I think that's why I grabbed onto him because it felt like a personal representation of Elvis as a person. Yes.
He was still larger than life, but subdued.
Mm-hmm.
Like he brought it in. He reeled it in. He had the mannerisms down.
He didn't like do this shit, you know, the hand shit for everything.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you didn't see the Elvis on stage in his behind the stage movements. Like you would see in other places.
There's a great scene in the movie where Elvis and Jerry are waiting at the airport and two Elvis impersonators come up.
That's what I wanted to get into.
All right.
Yeah.
That was perfect because the Elvis impersonators are like the cartoon Elvis.
Right.
And then there's, and they don't even think that he's Elvis.
No.
They're like, oh man, you're looking good. You know, you're doing this, doing that. I did that in fucking 1970 or whatever. And Elvis is just sitting there, just kind of looking back, smile, gives him a little hand clap.
Right. Right. And they don't think he's a good enough, like he's not Elvis-y enough,
right.
essentially. And that's what I was curious about because I was like, How many times did that happen to Elvis? Or how many times did he get accosted by impersonators who were like, oh, man, I can do this and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, that had to be an insane amount of time in his life.
Right.
That people would just think that they could Elvis up Elvis.
I wonder, and I've never looked into this, like just you now saying that, it just put the idea in my noggin. I wonder when Elvis impersonators became a thing.
That's true. I don't know. Like, would it have been while he was still alive or after?
I would assume so.
Right?
I would, like, because after, do you know kind of how the trajectory of Elvis's fame went? Like, how savvy are you with that?
Well, go with your story and then I'll tell you if I
He, you know, when he kind of burst onto the scene, he got famous.
And then he lost it at one point.
And then, yeah, it started to dwindle a little bit.
Right.
And he went into the army and he came back and he did a bunch of movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did the 68 comeback special. And from there till the day he died, that is what catapulted Elvis.
Yes.
That 68 comeback special blew him the fuck up.
Which he couldn't even hardly give away tickets to.
Right.
The comeback special.
Yeah.
And look at how they film it. That place was not filled.
Right.
Yeah.
And they filmed with multiple audiences, which is wild to think.
Right. But then that sent him off again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So was it pre 68 comeback special where we saw the first impersonators or
maybe,
like after? Like, man, that's.
I only know an impersonator that wears a jumpsuit, though, but I'm sure they were impersonating him before he did the jumpsuits.
Right.
I guess. I assume. I don't know.
Cause, I mean, even, you know, before 68 comeback special, I mean, he was still big, still huge.
Yeah.
And Colonel Tom, his manager, he was an evil dick, but smart about certain things. You know, he saw that, hey, there's fans of Elvis, but then there's also people that hate Elvis. So he created I Love Elvis buttons and I Hate Elvis buttons.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
God, what a dick.
Right?
God love him. R.I.P. to a real one.
To a real one. true politician if there ever was
a
one.
A true politician if there ever was
God
one.
God bless.
God damn it.
So what was your kind of big takeaway from this movie? What was the thing that really made you start to become fascinated with this era Elvis?
Just like you said, just his total mindset of what he could get away with or what he just the. It's almost like the audacity.
Right.
The audacity of him to think that he could just go get a badge because he wants a badge. Mm-hmm. He can just go up to the White House, compare it to Graceland, and then say, yeah. I want to meet the president and I want to get a badge. I want to be undercover. And I also want to talk to J. Edgar Hoover.
Yep. I think drugs are destroying our nation.
Right. And then I'm like, weren't you on them? I'm like,
yeah, right.
It's like. That part I was confused about as well. But I was like, the audacity that has been implanted in him because of his life and the people around him.
And what's wild, and it comes
and
off.
And I don't
mean
that as a negative way.
No, no. And that's exactly what I was going to say. Because, like, you know, in real life and in this movie, the way it's portrayed, like, he's not being a dick about it.
He's not. He's totally sincere in what he's going. He totally sincerely saw what was going on. In the nation, he felt compelled to do something about it, and he's just going to go meet with the president to do something about it. He's totally pure in his intentions.
Yep.
But the audacity.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. If Jack and Leanne wanted to do that, we show up at the White House. We're in cuffs.
Right.
Like, we're getting hauled away.
Also, the audacity to allow it to happen so that your daughter can get an autograph from this man.
Right.
An autograph and a photo. We changed everything about national security because of the audacity of Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
It's so wild. It's so amazing to me.
And fame like that does not exist anymore.
It doesn't. It doesn't. I feel like, what do you think, Michael Jackson was the last?
Ooh.
Who do you think would be... I feel like Michael Jackson was an insanely famous
musician wise. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, musician wise.
Yeah, probably that was.
That's what I feel like was the last truly over the top famous human being.
Because I love when a musician gets real erratic with shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like the way Elvis lived, the way Michael Jackson lived, aside from the kid touching.
Right, the kid diddling, dibble dabble.
Yeah.
We don't condone.
Everything else, man, Neverland Ranch, and I want to have a monkey.
Don't tell me. Do not tell me right now that you would not have your own damn theme park if you could afford to have a theme park.
Fuck yeah.
I would fucking live at Universal Studios.
Yup.
I would walk out in my bathrobe and be like, gonna ride the Hulk. Hold my robe.
You want to know my level of that fame audacity?
Mm.
I would have my compound and house and surrounding grounds. I'd call it Graceland 2.
Graceland part 2.
Mm-hmm. Nope, just Graceland 2.
Just Graceland 2.
Graceland
comma T-O-O.
No.
Damn it. All right.
Graceland.
I'm going to quit making edits.
Roman numerals 2. Encrusted in diamonds.
Yeah. Right on your belt buckle, thanks to your belt buckle smith.
Yep, exactly. We would make replicas that we would sell at Graceland2.com.
Yeah. GracelandII.com.
Mm-hmm. That's, yeah. I think now, I mean, there are artists and musicians and actors who have that kind of look at me, I'm gonna live life wildly and crazily, I'm gonna do kind of goofy shit. I think to a certain extent Lady Gaga would fall in that lane, but the fame isn't there. That level of fame is not there.
Right.
It just doesn't exist.
It does not exist anymore. Absolutely not. What do you think that is?
I think a large part of it is because of internet and social media. YouTube.
Internet and social media, they're easily accessible that way.
And now, are you familiar with Bo Burnham?
Yes.
He's
the comedian,
yeah,
right?
He's got a great bit on this. It's like everyone can now be a performer. You can pick up your phone and
be a star.
Record yourself on YouTube and make millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
There are children who make millions of dollars reviewing toys.
Yeah.
And they have autograph lines at conventions with other kids wanting them to sign their toys. That's like 500 people long.
That is insane.
And we have a podcast that 13 people listen to.
Right. I'm in debt.
Yeah.
That you felt that leap out of my soul. Whatever is left of it. You saw it, right? You felt it. It came out of my soul. It came out of my throat, and it went into this microphone, and it went into your brain.
And you, the listener, could not see this, but I was here. I was present. I was face to face for it. Leanne Foster has what I like to call smiling eyes. Like when she smiles, you can see it in her eyes. When she said, I'm in debt, those eyes went dead.
They go dead real fast.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I'm in debt.
I'm in debt.
Yeah, whoa.
I'm in debt.
Right in the soul. Let's
glad we can laugh about it.
Let's chat a little bit about Elvis's boys in this movie. He has
Johnny Knoxville.
Fucking
Johnny
up.
Knoxville.
Hell yeah.
God damn, I love Johnny Knoxville.
Right?
I will always have a soft spot in my heart for Johnny Knoxville.
Was it like the Jackass stuff
got you? Yeah, I did. I've seen a couple of his movies just because it's Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you were pretty happy when he came rolling in halfway through the movie?
I was. I was like, you know what? You deserve this role. You deserve to be one of Elvis's people.
Yeah.
Yep, you're good.
Uh-huh. Elvis's bodyguard, basically. He was kind of the guy that made sure no riffraff got close to the king.
Right.
I imagine that would be a very difficult job.
I imagine it would be as well. Also, you need to be on call for karate demonstrations at any point in time.
Yep.
Which was, oh my God.
Little,
but anyways,
like super awesome and awkward.
It was. I was like, I think it was during that where I had the blanket on me and I was like, oh, and I just held it up to like right under my eyes. I was like, I'm not going to like this awkward part.
I guess Michael Shannon didn't even like filming that part. He thought that was just so in all the things in this movie that Elvis did that were out of nowhere, he thought that was the biggest offender.
Well, it comes across on the screen for sure. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And apparently Elvis and Sonny in the real day, they would practice their karate. They would throw down on some moves.
You know, you got to do what you got to do.
I heard one of the times when I took the VIP tour, at Elvis, there's a, or Graceland, there's a chandelier right when you walk in to the foyer of Graceland. And the tour guide has said, if you look up and you notice, there's one link missing on this chandelier.
Uh-huh.
That's because Elvis and Sonny were practicing their karate kicks. When them got too high, pulled the link down. They never replaced it.
That's amazing.
I was like, that's fucking
dope. So you had a person guiding you through the for your, the VIP tour?
Yeah.
Okay. When I was when I did it, we had the headsets.
Yep, yep.
And now that I think back upon it, like, what an idiot. We would stop and look at things, and I never stopped my tape. And so they would be talking about things, and I'm like, I don't see the fur. I don't see the green. I don't, the jungle room. This, we're not in the, we're in a hallway. And I realize now as an adult, I'm like, you stupid, dumb child. You could have just,
well, now,
rewind.
Now everything is on an iPad.
Oh.
And it's narrated by George Clooney.
Oh. I don't know why I love that, but I do.
I mean, he does have a very soothing voice.
He do. Mm-hmm. He's got a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, and Elvis's boys.
Yeah, Elvis's boys.
Sorry, I totally interrupted you, as I've been known to do.
What do you think of Jerry?
God, I love Jerry. Can you imagine the hard position that Jerry's in?
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I can't imagine being that level of fame as Elvis, and I can't imagine being a normal person around Elvis, because... And he's talking about it too, how he's not seen either. You know, he's not seen it. And almost Elvis doesn't even see him either, because it's like, well, you got, I got to do this, so you have to be with me.
Right.
You know, and Jerry wants to have his own life. You know, he wants to marry his girlfriend or ask her parents to marry her and all this sorts of stuff. And it's like, Elvis is so, not demanding is a harsh word, but he just thinks he can take Jerry along whenever he wants him to.
Almost like there's a codependency
a
there.
Very, a much codependency, yeah. You know? But it's like, I understand why, because it's the only person Elvis can trust.
Right.
You know? And but it's just to see the drastic difference between these two people and the same problems between these two people have.
Right.
It's fascinating.
And what about when... Jerry has to, in the movie, Jerry has to go for a minute and he puts Sonny in charge. He's like, make sure Elvis doesn't go anywhere. Sonny falls asleep. They wake up. Elvis is gone.
Elvis is. Can you imagine the panic? First of all, to have to watch somebody like that, to have to watch an adult that way.
Yeah.
It's so wild in a hotel room that almost like a baby, like an infant just fumbling around. It's so crazy. And then,
but it just happens to be the most famous infant on the
exactly,
planet.
Exactly, exactly. And then that amount, I can't imagine the panic of the most famous person in the world that has ever walked the earth is just gone.
Right?
Immediately somebody has kidnapped him, you would think. Or, oh my God, like what the fuck happened to him?
And in that day, how do you get a hold of someone?
Exactly.
Where do you find this person?
Right. You call the driver. Thank God.
Yeah, right? And the driver took him to a donut shop.
Oh my God. That scene, was that amazing?
I love that scene.
I am like, if that really happened... That is one of my favorite things ever.
Talk to me a little bit about that scene. What did you like about it? How did you feel about it?
Just the amount of charisma the man had and just how he could take a person and wrap them around their finger immediately. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that and just in even though he was who he saw the situation and he was a part of those people just in that second. He was a part of, yeah.
They take him to a donut shop apparently, because he's in D.C., apparently he goes to the blackest area of town.
Right.
He gets out, you know, steps out of the car. There's a bunch of Black Panther-looking guys.
Mm-hmm.
The organization, not the Marvel superhero. I feel I should.
You didn't have to.
Okay. Just in case.
Nerd! You didn't have to, nerd!
He just gets out of the car and everyone just straight up starts clocking Elvis and he's like, what's going on, guys?
Yeah.
And just walks in.
Walks in.
I need to get a maple bar.
Right.
Yeah.
Shows him his piece.
Yeah.
Shows him Lucille in his boot. Yeah. In his fucking boot. I didn't know he called it Lucille.
Yeah.
Did he call it Lucille? Or is that just a thing? Shows him that, gets him laughing because she was like, he ordered a maple bar and the lady go, maple bar my ass. And then he goes back and he orders.
No, he says, I'll take the all original maple bar. And then this woman over in the corner says, all original my ass.
And then he orders it again. I would like the all original my ass maple bar.
Yeah.
And I was like,
and then just,
he won everybody over.
And then just looks back at her and winks.
Uh-huh.
Fuck yeah.
Putty. Putty.
Yep, putty.
You know?
Uh-huh.
I fucking loved that so much.
God bless. And
with such ease.
Right?
With such fucking ease. You know?
We live in an era where if there is someone that's famous that we look up, even not famous people, I mean, just your friends on Facebook, you can get a sense of literally everything they do, every interaction they have. Mm-hmm. You're like, man, I love the way so-and-so interacts with people. I love what this dude does with his fans, this, that, and the other. You can see all of that.
Right.
You didn't get to see that in the 70s with Elvis. Like, none of that footage exists, but could you imagine to just be in a room, like in that donut shop?
Yeah.
And Elvis comes in and just starts being Elvis.
Right. I can't even imagine. I can't fathom it at all. No.
God. I know you've been asked the question. Everyone has been asked the question. If you had a time machine,
mm-hmm.
what would you do?
What do you mean?
Like, if you had a time machine and you could go back in time, mm-hmm. what would you do?
What would
Where would you? Everyone's, I'm going to kill Hitler or whatever.
Nah, I ain't going to kill Hitler.
I want to go to that donut shop when Elvis was in there. Which would probably, I'd probably stand out because now there's another white boy walking into this donut shop.
You don't belong. You didn't belong. No.
But it would 100% be, I'm going to an Elvis concert.
Oh, I'd go to the comeback special.
Yeah?
I'd go to that or Hawaii.
All right.
Yeah. Those would be my two.
I forget the stats, but I think that was like the most watched thing on TV until like the MASH finale.
Okay. And also, wasn't it like first was satellite or some shit? It was like a big fucking deal.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're a big fan of that Aloha from Hawaii one, aren't you?
I am.
That's your jam.
That's my jam. I love that one. I don't know. You know, it's funny. The reason why I love that so much, I think, is because I remember when my granddad got a truck that had a CD player in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like before it was all tapes. And then I found the Aloha from Hawaii CD. And I bought it for him, and it was like, oh my God, this on CD? Like, it was a huge thing. I remember back at a simpler time in America.
Yeah.
And we would listen to that so much, like, all the time when we were together. It was always Aloha from Hawaii is the one we loved to listen to. So I love that CD. I love that performance.
Was that your first kind of introduction to Elvis?
No, not at all.
Do you remember your first introduction?
I really, honestly, I don't. I just feel like Elvis has always been in my life.
Yeah.
You know, from either memorabilia, seeing Elvis on clocks and plates, like you were talking about memorabilia. Like, I think I've told you before, my granddad had like the 30 something commemorative plates.
Yeah.
That are now plates. Mine. Yes. I need to bring them. My mom has them. I need to bring them here just so you can look at them.
Yes.
Because I have them, and I figured out, I think, where I can put them in my apartment.
You know, I have never laid eyes on these plates of yours, but I can recall the commercial that was selling them.
Oh, no shit!
In my head.
That's amazing.
They were everywhere. It's like, mm-hmm. Buy these commemorative plates for this thing or for that thing.
Well, he had them all. God. He had them all, and they were up around the front room, where like the rec room. They were all up front. I remember that so vividly.
But I remember those commercials and wondering, those are awesome, but who would buy those? Now I know.
My papa did.
That's awesome.
And now I got them.
Do you remember the Elvis clock that it was... You had the clock and then him on there in his Gold LeMay suit, and the thing that kept time were his legs that were swinging back and forth.
He had one. Papa had one.
Shit.
We had one. I was going to get to that. He had one. The legs swing. We had that one. We also, there was like this big clock in the front room where nobody, you know, you have that room where nobody sits. It's just there with a couch, you know? It was like a, if I remember this correctly, it was like a big, I thought it was like a wooden plank. And then, like, there was the clock in the corner, and then it looked like Elvis, like almost two Elvises in it, if I remember it correctly, and, like, one has a tear or some shit. I don't, like...
Oh, yeah, okay.
Everything gets, because I know there we had so much stuff, like, I might be confusing two different things, but I remember us at one, there was something that had, like, two different Elvises, and I remember one had, like, a tear, you know, there was all kinds of Elvis shit.
When Rachel and I got married, we had, obviously we had a Graceland wedding at the Graceland Wedding Chapel in Vegas.
You were able to do that, while, you know, we can't do that anymore.
Right. Apparently.
That was my dream before I ever met you. I said, the only way I'm getting married is to get married by Elvis. in Vegas.
So here's what's funny. And you can ask some of my way back friends about this. I have literally said that for decades, decades before I met Rachel.
I believe you.
Like, I have ended relationships because if that ever came up, I'm like, if we ever get married, it's going to be at the Graceland Wedding Chapel in Vegas. Ha, no, it's not. I'm like, yeah, it is.
Oh my God, I love this so much because I've always said that's how I want to get married. If the person that I'm with cannot get with that idea, then I don't need to be with that person.
Yeah.
That's how I have felt for so long. Yeah. We were meant to be friends,
right?
Bruh.
Hell yeah. literally ended a relationship when, over a year when that subject came up.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, why would I want to be married by that misogynistic pig? And I'm like, we're done here.
Fuck off.
We're super done here.
You PC whore.
Right? Good day, ma'am.
Good riddance with the rubbish.
Sonny, take the trash out.
hand me my belt buckle. I gotta go out and find new trim.
Trim.
Trim, such a great term.
I'm just glad that you used it, not me.
Right, you're welcome. Don't worry, I'll say all your misogynistic shit. I don't give a fuck. Fuck them bitches.
Oh my God. You're good.
Shit.
God, I don't even know where I was going with that story.
I don't remember what you were talking about. Oh, yeah, okay. So, wait, hold on. Shit. What were we talking about?
Well, because we were talking about all the Elvis merch.
Yeah, and then you talked about Elvis weddings. Were you talking about when you and Rachel got married?
Well, yeah, I mean, because, you know, we did the Elvis-themed wedding.
Yes, but we were talking about merch.
Oh,
okay.
I know. Okay, so when we came back, we had just, like, some of the nearest and dearest there in Vegas, and then we did a big wedding reception when we got back to Fargo.
Right.
The best wedding present that we received. Sorry if anyone's listening and your present isn't coming up. It was a velvet Elvis painting.
Oh, yeah.
And it was from the side. It was like a profile shot, and Elvis was sweating, and he had the white jumpsuit on. Like, it might have been a tear.
Uh-huh. Maybe that's what we had, because I know we had velvet, so I might be confusing two different things. Yeah. We might have had the same thing that you're talking about.
Like,
I remember Elvis velvet.
I opened that and I was like, oh my God.
Like,
we don't need to open Rachel, open the rest of these. I don't give a fuck. I got what I wanted.
I'm going to sit with my ace of spades, wasn't it? Was that it? And just look at my Elvis velvet.
I was like, just know, woman, if this relationship doesn't work out, I get the velvet Elvis.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's a Weird Al Yankovic song called Velvet Elvis, and it's about a velvet Elvis painting.
Why wouldn't you write a song about that?
Right?
Right?
Exactly. God. Why haven't more people covered Velvet Elvis?
I don't know.
Maybe we put that at the beginning of the trailer for this week's episode.
I've never heard it, but I'll go listen to it.
Good deal.
Fucking Velvet Elvis.
Elvis and Nixon, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Good movie.
I love the fact that it's a movie about the meeting of Elvis and Nixon, and they don't meet until literally the last 20 minutes of the movie.
Yes, the preparation, the work that goes into getting this meeting is fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we get all of that and then it pays off in the end. But I love the arranging of this and the people, which I know about Nixon, you know, I'm not a crook and all like the Watergate and all that shit, but I don't know. I don't know what his demeanor was. I don't know how he really sounded or anything like that. And I didn't realize that until I started watching the movie. Right. But I assume Kevin Spacey did a great job because you can say he's a fucking fantastic actor.
He is. And actually, his Nixon was pretty solid.
I just went ahead and went, I figured it was.
Much like Michael Shannon's Elvis, Kevin Spacey's Nixon is more drawn in. He's more like real person. Because a lot of people, when they do Nixon, they go over the top.
Yeah, and then they do the peace signs. And the caricature.
Exactly, right. Yeah.
Right.
But no, they were both very well done, I thought.
Mm-hmm. And to know that he didn't give a fuck, he didn't want to do it, he had a nap time, he had, like, learning all that in this movie was so amazing to see, and how it works, and how his people, how immediately his people were going to spin this.
Yeah.
You know, that's an amazing too. You know?
And I don't really care about politics, so I don't know that much about politicians mm-hmm. outside of the big
right.
iconic stuff you learn about in school or hear about on whatever.
Right.
So I honestly don't know too much about Nixon. I don't know too much about Watergate outside mm-hmm. of, you know.
They recorded people.
Yeah.
Some shit unlawfully.
Yeah.
People went to jail.
Yep.
Yeah.
Things happened.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That shit. I'm like, well, you got what you needed, so
right.
You know, by whatever means necessary.
The one thing about Nixon that sticks out for me is so when I think Nixon died in the 90s, like 95-ish, 94-ish.
Okay.
So I was still in school, and they were, you know, they talked about, oh, President Nixon died. These are some of the things that, you know, this is the legacy of President Nixon mm-hmm. and the Watergate thing and him resigning, him getting impeached, like all of that right. shit, right? And so our history teacher was talking about that, you know, a president has died and we're mourning and this and that. And we got to watch some of the CNN footage of Nixon's funeral, which if you get a TV day in school, that's great, right?
Yeah.
You always love that. But I, in my head, I'm like, wait a minute. You just told me that this dude was a fucking crook. And we're like glamorizing him. I'm like, okay, America, right. Let's go.
It's amazing what we'll do sometimes with a because of a title.
Right.
You know, no matter how it's earned or how it's lost.
But now I wonder how far will that go until, because I mean, even in from 94 to now, it's such a different time, especially in media,
mm-hmm.
you know, when like who's the next president that's probably going to kick the bucket? Carter, probably.
Carter.
Like, you know, and he's the only president that I can think of that's done amazing things after the fact, because he does Habitat for Humanity right. and like builds all these homes and shit. Dude's like 90 out there with a hammer.
Right. All I ever remember, though, from my childhood was like Jimmy Carter was the worst damn president we ever had. Go Reagan. Like that was all I ever heard was fucking Jimmy Carter was the worst. Son of a bitch.
And then I come to realize if you do like an ounce of looking, anyone that they said is great in history, you find out that they're pieces of shit.
They had some shit going with them.
Yeah.
I mean, I was always taught that Reagan was this glowing, amazing American, and you've told me that's not the case.
Yeah. Shout out to the Dollop podcast, which right. Has informed me of a great many number of things. Oh, man, American education really is bullshit. Huh. Read books, kids.
It's true. Don't be a dummy like me.
Or listen to podcasts if you can't read like Leanne.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
stay
yeah.
away from them hard magazines.
Yeah.
Just
them.
Listen to us.
I'm
that thing got more than a paragraph? Fuck off. Listen to us.
We'll give you the Cliff Notes version and we'll give you some rape jokes, too.
Yep. We'll dibble dabble with a little rape.
Yeah, no. I don't like it.
I don't like it.
Oh, man.
That's what that kid said to Michael Jackson when he dibble dabbled. I don't like it.
There it is.
That was bad. I feel like I'm on today. I didn't do good last week, but I feel like I'm on today.
Well, I gave you a better movie this week.
You gave me a better movie, yes.
I did give you a better movie.
I'm only as good as my source material.
I mean, that's a valid point. That is a fair critique, and I will take that into account.
Okay, perfect.
When I pick a movie for next
week. It's about time you learn in 103 episodes.
I might be a bit slow on the draw, but I come around eventually.
Yeah, that's all right. See, we learn you. We learn you around here.
So with this Elvis movie that's coming out here in June, it looks like from the trailers, I mean, it looks like it's going to cover everything,
yeah,
you know, like
yeah.
like beginning, middle, and end.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, you know, you've said that this era of Elvis and Nixon has now fascinated you. You're curious to learn more.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a specific era that you would like to, outside of this, that you would hope for?
I really want them to talk about his comeback, like how that all really like how low he was, I guess, mm-hmm. and then how that shot him off. That's what I want to see, that process again. Because I feel like that's when he warped. You know, became what he was. Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, again, at that point, that's when the leeches really started
yeah.
grabbing on mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. couldn't yeah. even imagine.
That's going to be an interesting part for me, I feel like.
So here are some of the things that Elvis did that has been documented that weren't covered in this movie around this time frame. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be one of those like, oh, Jack, why are you pulling the curtain back? What? No, I don't want to know.
It's okay, I'm fine.
Because now you're fascinated.
I'm fascinated by it.
So back in those days, you know, you couldn't go to a doctor and have that doctor pull up all your prescriptions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Elvis had medical journals and he would say, oh, if I want to get this type of drug, I need to say I have this type of pain.
Right. I think we talked about this before.
Did we?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he would
I've been prepped.
So he would go to a doctor in Memphis and say, you know, hey man, my knee hurts. I can't shake my hips on stage, man. I need some painkillers. Give him the painkillers, but then he'd go to college, like he'd go to Denver, he'd go to Texas, or he'd go to wherever.
Right.
And he'd go to another doctor. Hey man, I got to get on stage tonight, man. My hips hurt. I can't. I'm the king, mm-hmm. man. I got to shake this shit around. I can't be wheeling my little finger on stage, man. I got to give him the whole show. and then he'd, you know,
yeah.
he'd get the same prescription, and then he'd have like uppers, he'd have downers, and that was just a fucking train wreck for your system. On top of having probably one of the worst diets of
right.
any famous or any person ever.
But I think about it and I go, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
As somebody who doesn't do drugs, who's had like one painkiller in her life in a moment in the hospital. But why wouldn't you? If you could have it, why wouldn't you?
How was it? Do you care to talk about your experience with Delta 8?
Got me fucked up, bro. Got me fucked up. Do you want me to tell it?
When you were saying I didn't do no drugs, I'm like,
call that drugs?
Basically.
Okay, well, it fucked me up like drugs, I imagine, would. So I don't smoke weed. We've talked about that. I don't do weed. I don't do edibles or anything like that. I don't even do Delta 8. But one day, as this place we record at the radio station, as this place can be, it was a little stressful, right?
Yeah.
So out of the air, fairy godmother Victoria, our coworker, dropped off these three pieces of chocolate, these three squares wrapped up, and it was Delta 8 or Delta 10. I think it was Delta 8. And she was like, here, have these. And I'm like, so I sat with them for forever. And then one day I had another bad day and I was like, you know what? I'm going to try it out. Fuck it. We'll see what this does. Because I'd never had anything like it before, right? This is what, a couple months ago?
Yeah.
So I go home, I pour a glass of wine, and I eat a square of chocolate. Now, it says do not eat more than three. So, and nobody gave me instructions. It wasn't like in a pack. It was just three individual chocolates. So I eat one, wait 30 minutes, I don't feel nothing, right? So I'm like, ah. Big gal. It's got a lot of system to go through. I obviously need a second one. So your girl ate a second one. Nothing. Like 15, 20 minutes later, I'm assuming. Nothing. And I'm like, man, it's really trying to work through this system.
Some bullshit.
I need some more. So I went and broke off a half. And then I thought, I'll have a quarter. I have half of that. So I had a quarter, right? And then I sit back down. I think I was watching Sarah Marshall.
Good pick. Go listen to our review at HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com.
Right? I'm obsessed with that movie. And all of a sudden I went, oh, fuck, I got to go to bed. I was immediately fucked up. I couldn't feel a thing. I didn't know what was going on. And I was like, oh, shit. In my mind, I was panicking. So your drug-induced gal went to bed. And I got in bed and I went, I'm in the mattress. I was in the mattress, man. I went into the mattress when I laid down in bed. I was like, I am the mattress and the mattress is me. I am here in the mattress. And then at one point I went and wiped my face. Like I did something on my face or whatever. And I went, oh, that feels amazing. I think I'm in sand. It feels like sand. And I just kept feeling my face. I just kept rubbing over my face, laying in bed. And then I'm watching Sarah Marshall and I'm like, that doesn't look like Mila Kunis. That's not my boy. That's not what's his face. I who are these people? This isn't right. And then I was so relaxed. I didn't feel anything. Like I didn't feel my body. I wasn't attached to anything, right? That's how I felt.
Right.
And I was like, oh, fuck, what if I get so relaxed my heart stops? That's what I thought was going to happen to me. And I'm like, here I've done drugs by myself. Nobody knows I'm fucked up. I'm not going to make it. I'm free. And meanwhile, my body is not moving because I'm in the mattress, right? I am in the goddamn mattress. Certified in the goddamn mattress.
The one with the mattress is me.
And I'm like, oh God, but I'm panicking in my brain, right? And then I keep fighting to sleep because I'm like, once I fall asleep, my body stops. Everything's going to stop, right? So I finally eventually fall asleep. I wake up the next morning to the alarm. Oh, during all this, while I'm trying to watch the TV, I would try to go like, okay, maybe I should rest. I would move my head and my head would be facing this way, but my eyesight was over here. Like I was frames behind. I was several frames behind. I'm not even lying. Not even lying. So then the next morning I wake up and I'm like, oh shit, I'm fucked up. I'm still fucked up. I was still fucked up. I wasn't as bad, but I got up and I got dressed and then I turned around two times at my apartment because I'm like, I can't go to work like this. I'm fucked up. I can't be on the air. I'm fucked up. Finally, I drove to work anyway. I couldn't remember anything that I had done. I couldn't retrace my steps. So I'm in here trying to talk on the air. And then I'm like having to write down everything I say because I don't remember any story I've told on the air. I could not retrace my steps. And I was here all day working because I would be like, I would do something. I would make a commercial and I would go, did I make that commercial? And I would go check. And I'm like, there's that commercial. I made the fucking commercial. Was insane. I was fucked up for 2 days.
And I've mentioned it before. I'll bring it up again. This is why we need to get you some Delta 8 and watch Dave Chappelle's Half Baked.
I think it's a great idea, but it scares me because I can't retrace my steps. I don't know what I've said.
I become a monster on Delta 8.
I'm a monster. No, I just go to bed and become one with the mattress. But it's like, I don't know what I've said. I don't know what I've done. And then another time I had the rest of the half and I thought, oh, this won't bother me. It fucked me up again. Luckily, not 2 days, but I just made some popcorn and I went, I'm going to die eating this popcorn. I'm going to choke. And I threw away the popcorn. I was like, fuck, I did it again. God damn it. Ah, I can't have kernels. Ah. Everything scares me. Everything scares me mentally. So I don't really want to do it again, to be honest with you.
That's too
I'd rather
good.
Just drink wine and get fucked up on wine.
And that's how junkies are made.
Yeah.
that's how Elvis did it. He took that first painkiller and was like, oh man, I need
He got
more.
High and he stayed high. And it's like, I applaud you, sir, but it's not for me. It scares the shit out of me.
Man.
And maybe it's just because I was by myself.
Yeah.
You know? Because I'm like, what if something happens and I can't function? You know? I don't know, but...
Couldn't retrace your steps. I was maybe like, fuck it. Fuck you, Jax. Man, I'm going to make that Tinder profile now. Fucked up on Delta 8. Come get it.
Yep. God damn it.
God, fucking come
I was so
get
fucked
it.
Up,
come
dude.
Come get it would be a great thing to see on someone's Tinder profile. Come get it.
I ran to McDonald's and I thought, oh, if I eat a biscuit and drink coffee, I'll be fine. Didn't help.
No.
And I'm like, shit, I gotta drive back on the road again and go back. It was a mess.
That's too good.
And it was a silent mess because I didn't want to tell anybody. I didn't tell a soul until after I was clean.
until after
I was pissing clear. Then I was like, okay, now I'll tell somebody.
I remember when you came to tell me the story. I was in our radio station and you came in and you didn't burst through the door all jubilant like you normally do. You kind of just pushed it open. You kind of looked around, dimmed a light, like drew the curtains, like, I need to tell you a story. I'm a fucking junkie now.
I'm a junkie. I'm a druggie.
So
it was a mess. Anyways, but if I had all the fame and all the money, I'd be like, oh, maybe that would be nice to be that fucked up all the time.
Like at a certain point, I would think that it would have to be necessity.
Right.
You
it
know?
Would have to be how you got through your life and through your day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know, again, small potatoes compared to the king. But when I had to, when I was a strip club DJ, mm-hmm. at first it was great. Everything was fucking awesome. As time went on, I'm like, this is fucking horrible.
Right.
Like, I need to not be sober to deal with this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think millions of people do that,
yeah.
you know, on our little plebeian bullshit level.
Whatever their thing is.
Yeah.
Everybody's in some way, shape, or form got their thing and how they have to deal with it.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, I couldn't imagine what Elvis had to deal with. I can imagine what little old fucking shitty strip club DJ Jack Spade had to deal with.
I know how I feel when somebody goes, oh, you're on the radio? Like, it's a big deal. And I'm like, good.
Right?
I can't imagine people seeing me and screaming bloody murder, like screaming and running and
yeah.
grabbing and pulling and what, just... I can't imagine. I cannot imagine.
No.
No.
Nor should you really be
no.
able to.
A human really should not have to deal with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, well, they're famous and they have everything they want and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, no, they don't emotionally. They
right.
don't. They don't. No, they don't.
Yeah.
And mentally, you're not built to handle that.
Yeah. And it all kind of circles back to that scene in the bathroom with Elvis and...
It was heartbreaking.
Yeah,
it
man,
really was.
It just...
That stuck with me.
It did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I mean, the whole movie I think is good. There's some great performances. There's
yeah.
some great, you know, little bits. But that is the thing. And I think if you made a different type of movie, if you went after like a different style of movie, focusing on that kind of mentality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that movie would be depressing as fuck.
Right. Do you think we're going to get a lot of that, though, with this movie, don't you think? Because, you know, he's got that moment in the tree. He's like, who are you, Elvis?
Yeah,
like,
I need to get back to the real me
yeah.
or whatever. Like, I mean, I hope the movie's going to be good. I think it's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to portray Elvis more as a superhero than a real person.
Right.
And which I'm cool with. I'm happy with it. I think it will give us some of that, you know, the dark times. But I don't think it's going to be... as dark as it could be,
it won't
or
be
should
gritty.
Be.
No. It won't be as dark as it really was.
No.
No.
Gonna have to read some books for that.
Right. A what?
never mind. Fuck it.
An extra large, thick pamphlet? What are you talking about?
I'll get you some pictures. here's an Elvis Depression flashcard.
It's how I learn.
But yeah, like, so I don't know what we're going to get in the movie. You
but
know,
God, he looks like him and God, he sounds like him and he fucking moves like him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he put work into this clearly.
Yeah, he did.
Mm-hmm. Quick aside, I read today that, or not today, a few days ago.
That's okay. I won't fact check you.
Thank you. Baz Luhrmann. For a minute, and I hated this idea, considered Harry Styles
mm-hmm.
as Elvis, but said no because he's already an icon,
which
A is kind of sad to say.
Well,
like, I get it. He is.
I like Harry Styles.
Yeah.
I really do. But it would not have made me happy if he was Elvis.
No.
And I kind of understand Baz Luhrmann's thought process on that. It's like he has his own like Harry Styles is huge. He has his own huge identity, and I think he's earned it because I really do like his music, actually.
Do you?
Yeah, surprising. His albums are actually really good.
All right, maybe I'm just hating.
You can hate on One Direction. I didn't get One Direction, and I'm not like a fangirl, but I'm like his stuff by himself. I'm like, and he appreciates music. You know what
okay,
I mean?
All right, that's
like,
fair.
So I would give him a chance because, and also our buddy Cassio from Cassio's Cut. Man crush on Harry Styles.
Oh, is that right?
Did you not know that?
I did not know that.
He was jamming to that new album that came out the other week immediately.
Oh, shit.
So great.
I'll have to fucking bring it up.
But he is such a star in his own right. He didn't need to be a part of Elvis's identity or have that a part
sure,
of him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he didn't need to have that.
So this is my hope for Austin Butler, the guy that's playing Elvis now. I hope he's able to have a career after this.
Me too. Because I worry that it is such a character that he will never come out of it. He will always be put in that box.
Yep.
That's what I worry about for sure. I really hope he can get past it.
And that's happened to many actors many times over. They uh-huh. take on such an iconic role, whether it's the role of a person, a living, breathing person, or a, you know, character? Like Superman,
mm-hmm.
you know, Christopher Reeves.
Or the
Reeves.
Joker.
Yeah. I mean, Christopher Reeves never really had a career as great as after Superman.
Right.
Even when Brandon Routh played Superman, he never really bounced back from, hey, I was Superman. Right. You know, can Austin Butler bounce back from being fucking Elvis Aaron Presley?
I would hope he can. He's a young kid. I would hope he can. I really hope he can.
Yeah.
You know, but I have worried about the same thing. I'm like, oh, this is all this kid's ever going to do. This is all this kid's going to be known for. But I hope that's not the case.
I also hope this movie does incredibly well and introduces a new generation of the king.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just for people to understand him more, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think there was a time, even when I was growing up, where it was super uncool to like Elvis.
Mm-hmm. Well, Eminem said it.
Yeah. Embarrassed. Your parents still listen to Elvis. And then, like, didn't he do something, Eminem, recently that he's like, oh, Elvis is cool, this or that or whatever?
He's on the soundtrack.
That's right. He's on the fucking soundtrack.
We talked about that. He's on the soundtrack. He does a song for the soundtrack for the movie.
Yeah. Full circle, Em. Full circle.
You grew your beard and you're now you're singing on an Elvis soundtrack.
Yeah.
A lot has happened.
All original. Still love you, though. My ass.
Still love Eminem, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Still love her.
Hell yeah. But yeah, there was that time, you know, when I was in high school and I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, listen to Elvis.
Fuck him.
And then he had a resurgence and then it was like, oh, fucking everyone loves Elvis now. And then it kind of just like tapered off a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping this movie just kicks that off again.
Right.
Like, give us the fucking king the way he was meant to be remembered.
I also feel like a lot of people... Or I feel like I've heard this too. I feel like a lot of people kind of stop at the knowledge, or they think that, oh, well, Elvis was a white guy who did black music.
Yeah.
And he gets that people put that reputation upon him. Like he's some bad dude because of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I hope they get past that. I hope that movie helps with that as well.
But you know, in the day and age we live in, it's going to blow up.
That's true.
If that movie is successful, those people are going to come out of the woodwork.
Because they live to come out of the woodwork on something like that.
Yeah, you know that the second this movie does well, there's going to be Elvis groomed Priscilla, and you know Elvis stole music from the black man, and blah, blah, blah.
Once again, a white man making money. Yeah. No.
Trash.
So let's call it your trash.
Let's have some closing thoughts on Elvis and Nixon.
I really love this peek into Elvis's psyche and who he was off the stage. And again, it's just a personal representation of a personable representation of Elvis. And I really, again, like I said, I went into it with very shitty expectations.
And already pissed off because you spent $13 on it.
Uh-huh, $12.99 if we're going to be specific. And it changed that fast. Like it really did. So it was a good movie and I like how it was done. And it's given me a whole new perception and a whole different love, like you're talking about, for Elvis.
All right.
I really enjoyed it.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it does make me happy that I rebounded from
you last rebounded
week.
Well, don't fuck it up next week, but you rebounded well this week. And I really truly wasn't expecting it. I feel like this is the biggest 180 I had on a movie.
Okay.
To be honest with you.
Right.
Because I was so not into it, and then boom, I was into it.
Now, we have talked numerous times when you go into a movie on this podcast that you've never seen, like you do minimal, if any, research.
I usually don't.
You don't watch trailers.
No.
Anything on this one, or you just go straight in?
Nope, went right into it.
All right.
And then I think at one point I Googled, I was like, wait a minute, is this really real? And then I was like, Elvis and Nixon, and it's like, he went in to get a badge to become a federal agent of law. I'm like, holy shit!
Yeah.
And then, and I think I looked it up for some cast, but that's usually it. Like, nope, just went right into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a quick Elvis aside. You know the two famous mugshots of Elvis?
Yes.
You know one of them is fake?
Yeah, I do know one of them is fake.
Did I tell you that?
Yes.
Okay.
And about how, yeah.
Because that was when he was on his badge kick. Like, he wanted to be, like, deputized everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine how fucking awesome and famous you could be to just go into a town. I just played a concert for a fucking 5,000 screaming women, and now I just want a badge. I want to be deputized. Fucking regulate me, motherfucker.
He had everything in the world. Everything in the world. And he felt more important with a badge.
Right?
He had everything at his fingertips. I mean, just, you could talk forever about this movie. You could talk forever about this because he just wanted a badge. It made him feel a different way than having everything else literally at his beck and call.
A lot of people have said and thought if he hadn't had pursued music, he would have been in law enforcement.
Right.
Like he just would have, you know, that was kind of his mentality.
And still unnurtured.
Yeah.
In that point in his career.
Crazy, isn't it?
Right? You could sit and write multiple books.
Oh, yes, on this. Books. Yeah. Books. Very good. Yeah. Very good, Lily.
Thank you.
You're learning.
Yay.
We'll put these flashcards away eventually.
One day I won't need them.
Honestly, I cannot wait to get to Graceland again with you to see all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And to have you, because I know you're a fan. I've never doubted your fandom. I know that fandom is there.
Right.
But to actually start peeling away at some of the layers and finding out more and just really getting in to just who the fuck he was as a person. I've said this so many times now, I'm just beating a dead horse, but I find Elvis as a human being to be so fascinating.
Right. The man,
you know? Yeah. Yeah. And even like little aspects of, because as we've talked about, I have no personality of my own. I like this from this person. I like that from that person. Mm-hmm. Like how much of like Elvis is in the shit that I do. And it's, you know, again, I'm the smallest fucking potatoes on the fucking plate. But, you know, it's like if I see something like I want to go after it.
Right.
Very, very like just matter of factly.
Yes.
Like, I want that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like Elvis did, you know?
Yeah.
Like why do I do that? Because Elvis did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Elvis TCB'd, motherfucker.
Right.
He took care of that business. He's I'm like, oh. And like, I don't want the big grandiose things that the king wanted. You know, it's just like, I want to fucking move back to Huntsville. I want to move back to Huntsville.
Why can't that be in my grasp? That's you. Why can't that be mine?
Yeah.
Why can't it be? I'm going to work for it.
And that, as was documented in this movie, that is who the fuck Elvis was.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, I don't understand why I can't go to the White House and just have the president in front of me.
Right.
And that scene, we didn't get a chance to talk about it, so let's do it now. That scene where they first meet, everything they told Elvis not to do, don't drink his Dr. Pepper, don't touch his M&M's. Like, he did all of it.
Yeah.
He sat down, he's like, oh, you got M&M's. I like M&M's.
He did, and he still kind of won Nixon over in ways. Like, Nixon kind of bent to him.
Yep.
Which was fascinating.
Yeah, because you know, these two people meet, and, you know, I mean, you're the president. You think you're the center of
the
universe.
You run the country.
You run the country. You're Elvis. You think you're the center of the universe. And now the irresistible force meets the immovable object. Who's going to bend first?
Right.
And it was Nixon.
And it was Nixon.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like Elvis just walks in, and he's just surveying the Oval Office, and Nixon kind of invites him to sit in front of the desk. Elvis just goes and sits on the couch.
Yeah. Doesn't eat the and then asks, the staff has to bring Nixon his own Dr. Pepper because Elvis has taken his. Like, it's just so wild, but amazing.
When you walk into a room, you own that fucking room, you know? Whether he did that, you know, consciously or that's just who he was at that point.
I don't really know how to go on it, to be honest.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? Because you're it's just wild.
Also, another thing I want to mention, which I thought was amazing, the gift he brought for the president.
That's right.
The gift he brought for the president was a gun. Was it a platinum-coated gun?
It was a gun from World War II.
And which Nixon served. So it's like you get, he brings the president a gun and like the bullets into like a case. And you're like, what the fuck are you thinking?
Yeah.
But then when they bring the gun and he takes it out, he shows him the gun and everything. But it was the most thoughtful gift ever because Nixon had knew all about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And it was like, fuck, that's amazing. I thought that was so cool.
Also, I love when they first finally get into the White House and Secret Service is like scanning Elvis. He's like, do you have any illegal firearms on your person? No, sir. And then he scans them. Boop. He's like, sir, do you have any firearms on you? Yes. You just said you didn't. No, sir. You asked me if I had any illegal firearms.
These are legal because I have this permit, blah, 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 blah. And it was like, oh my God, that's so fucking good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like that's who I.
But seeing all the pieces, one's gold, one's they're all laying there.
And, oh, and they are all on display at Graceland.
Oh, did they use replicas or did they use the real ones in the film?
I think
probably
they,
replicas
they, yeah.
for sure. Yeah.
I tried to look this up too, because that opening scene where we see Elvis in his TV room.
Yeah.
I mean, that is his fucking TV room.
Uh-huh.
Like that's exactly what it looks like.
Uh-huh.
And you can see it on the Graceland tour, and it looks so good that I wanted to find out if they actually filmed that at Graceland.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't able to find out yes or no.
I remembered it when I saw it in the movie. I was like, I know I've seen that.
Yeah.
I know I've seen that.
The last time I was at Graceland, they were filming like one of those Hallmark Christmas movies, Christmas at Graceland 2.
Barf.
And yeah. And what was funny was they were like, it's a Christmas movie. We need snow. They were filming this in July,
of course,
in Memphis.
Ugh.
And so they had these machines that were blowing essentially like styrofoam, basically. Mm-hmm. And they were it was styrofoam and then a not quite an ice maker, but something akin to that. So it was trying to like frost the ground.
Right.
But it was so hot that everything just melted as soon as it fucking hit the ground. And they had areas that were blocked off because they were filming. And the actors in July in Memphis were sitting there in sweaters and fucking
God.
Hats. I'm like, that's hell.
That would be awful.
Yeah.
God. It's like, why do you have sweat in the snow?
Yeah, right?
God, red-faced, hair frizzy. God, it would be a mess. Mascara running down. Ah, it's so chilly out. God, that'd be awful.
So next week on Huntsville Home Video, we'll be watching Christmas in Graceland 2.
Please don't do this to me.
Okay,
please.
I won't.
I'd rather watch Elvis fight the mummy. Please, no.
Before we get into that, let's give some stars to Elvis and Nixon.
I'm going to give it 4 Elvis belt buckles out of 5.
All right.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a turnaround from going in thinking it was going to be a no-star kind of day.
That's what I'm telling you. I think it's the fastest 180 I've ever pulled.
All
like,
right.
Shannon won me in an odd way.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will give it a 4 original maple bar my asses out of 5.
Nicely done.
Thank you. So next week, I propose a movie. It's different from Bubba Ho-Tep.
Thank you.
It's different from Elvis and Nixon.
All right.
In fact, Elvis Presley is not even a character in this movie, but it is about Elvis in a roundabout way. It has a lot of Elvis love. It has Kurt Russell.
Ah, our boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit of an action movie.
Oh, okay.
Called 3,000 Miles to Graceland.
Oh, you've mentioned it before, but I don't know anything about it.
And we'll leave it at that.
Perfect.
A quick shout out to a runner-up, and I actually just showed you the scene the other week. Of Jack White playing Elvis from Dewey Cox, Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story.
Right.
I suggested this movie for something. Now, Elvis is only in that movie for like a scene, so I didn't want to watch the whole thing for just a scene.
Right.
But I did show you that portrayal. What did you think of Jack White's Elvis?
I did love it because it was so ridiculous. It was so great. I was, and to see Jack White doing that is just right? fun to me. It's an anomaly to
yeah.
me. So because I forget sometimes that Jack White, I love Jack White, but I forget sometimes he really has a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I'm like, oh yeah, the guy's funny. Yeah.
There's two things you need to understand, man. Number one, I'm the king of rock and roll. Number two, ha! I cut you down just like that with my karate, man.
What did he say he learned it from? A Chinaman? I can't remember. Can't remember now, but anyway. So good.
Yes, we will not be reviewing that next week, so go to YouTube.
Just watch that scene.
And check out that scene, or watch the movie. It's pretty decent.
We do need to put it on the list, because it's one that I have wanted to watch. Maybe we'll get to that one day.
We'll add it
not
there.
This month.
No. We'll do, because it's we'll do 3,000 Miles to Graceland, and then I think it's, let me look at...
Let's look at our weeks here.
One of these calendars.
What day is today? Today, well, it's a little behind the scenes. It's not really the 13th, but you're listening to it on the 13th. And then that will be the 20th. Yeah, so we'll be talking about the movie after
3,000 miles to Graceland. Who?
Are we ready?
Man.
Do we have tickets yet? What have we done here?
We got to get some
tickets.
We got to get some tickets. We'll get on that.
I had a ticket, but then I had to buy a $13 movie. Put it on a credit card.
Which you just gave 4 stars, so fuck you.
Yeah, that's true. Now it's always in my arsenal because I bought it.
Knowing what that Elvis trailer did to us emotionally.
All of them.
All of the emotions.
And again, I was against the movie. Just to do a recap, I was, because I have never, I get disillusioned. I'm like, I don't like the way they did Elvis. Like my big beef with Chan, I was like, you don't look like Elvis. You don't sound like Elvis. I'm not going to like you as this. So yeah. That's usually my track record. So I just sloughed it off. I was like, and then you came to me and you were like, you have got to stop what you're doing and watch this. And I cried in front of you like a bitch.
So it's funny you say that. Because of this podcast, you have seen me well up and cry more than I think my wife has.
I have seen you do it a couple times.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Movies do it to me, man.
They do.
They get me to a place.
They do.
And especially when you're talking about like one of the people that, you know, I idolize the most.
Right.
In Elvis Aaron Presley. I think this movie's going to fuck me up. That trailer fucked me up.
It did.
You give me that Elvis version, Unchained Melody, things happen. Oh, my love. Fuck! There they went. And them goose tingles.
I get you.
Goose tingles.
I get you. Mm. God damn it. Mm. Yeah, we're going to be blubbering. That podcast is going to be so long because we can't get a sentence out. I'm going to have to edit us going...
This might have to be a movie that we watch twice in a weekend.
I'm down. Yeah.
I hope I'm down. Like, if it's disappointing, it's going to kill me.
Oh, God. Well, you know, we can shit on it for an hour and a half.
Well, there is that.
Like, or we can just come in for 5 minutes and go, fuck Baz Luhrmann and fuck Austin Butler. Jack and Lili have left the building.
I'll just come prepared with all the books I've read on Elvis, and I'll be like, all right, look, Leanne, this is a book.
I say shit.
I'm going to recite some of this. I have highlighted portions, which I like here. I'm going to read this. Just fuck that movie, blah, blah, blah.
And I'm just going to sit here. Mm-hmm. I ain't going to fight you on nothing. Mm-hmm. I give you my word. I will fight my absolute just basic instinct of wanting to rip apart what people say and just fight about stupid shit. I will let it go, and I will let you go.
Right.
And you just air your grievances.
But it won't be like that.
It's going to be good.
We'll get there.
It got the standing ovation. It got the longest one it can.
Yep.
It got 12 minutes worth. But them uppity motherfuckers don't know what they're talking about. So that might be a problem.
Well, I will
say.
No,
it'll be good.
I will say that Baz Luhrmann had himself a nice Elvis belt buckle at the Cannes Film Festival.
That's true.
I need to buy that. If that becomes a thing that we can buy.
Call the belt buckle smith.
I will. Yes. I'm going to call him right now. Let's wrap this fucker up and let's go call the belt buckle smith.
We got calls to make.
We got Elvis belt buckles to acquire.
I got to get a belt from a belt buckle.
I got a belt. I just need the buckle. So thanks for hanging out with us on week 2 of Elvis Month. We'll be back next week to chat about 3,000 Miles to Graceland. We will encourage you, invite you, welcome you to all of our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok.
Are we doing anything for Elvis with TikTok?
I'm doing some Elvis dances.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you want to preview one now?
No.
Okay, good. all of the social meds at HSV Home Video.
And shout out to our sponsor, Underboss Photography, Underboss_photography. Go on.
Nope, I was just breathing in. Go ahead, finish what you were doing. You didn't even get to say his name, so I really can't say what I was going to say.
Underboss_photography on social media. Michael takes amazing photos, prints you can buy for your own home, or have him take pictures for you, of you, by you, around you.
Very nicely done.
Thank you.
Very good. What I took in a gallon of air to say and interrupted you, and I apologize. I breathe early.
Yeah.
I prepare early. I don't know what that is.
I'm
just like
dramatic with it. You're like, I am about to speak.
I got these big lungs. I got to fill them up, man. Well, shit, what was I going to say? Motherfucker. Oh, I remember. Are we going with him to watch the movie?
Yeah, I'm going to text him up and be like, yeah, let's go to this movie.
Okay. That's what I thought the plan was. Or whoever. I don't know. Yep. You just tell me where to be, when to be there.
Yeah, it'll be the whole shebang, the whole podcast, the
whole crew?
Yeah, the whole crew.
The band's getting together.
The hosts, the sponsors, the fucking fans. The fans. My God, wow. Really, the fans.
We might be able to fill up half a row at the movie theater.
Oh shit.
Oh shit.
No bullshit. This is my level of Elvis grandness. Mm-hmm. I would buy every movie ticket in that theater for me, you, Michael, and our Baker's dozen.
Oh my God.
Which granted they are scattered across the globe, mm-hmm, as far as Australia, but our local Huntsville contingent here, I would buy that whole fucking theater.
That would be amazing to have a private screening of that movie.
And whip up some peanut butter bacon banana sandwiches for everyone. All you
I love
have,
all those things.
All you would have to endure is 15 to 20 minutes of me ranting as Elvis.
I could do it.
All right, look here, Sonny. Now, I rented this theater here. I want y'all to see my picture, my film. Let's have a good time here, man.
Listen here, I want you to put me in the best seat of the house. That's what I want. It's right there. The best one for the movie theater. I want it right there. I want my ass planted right there.
Yep.
That's
how I do it.
Yep.
You know, like I can't attain the level of grand things that Elvis did, but I can go.
You down. Can fake it.
I can. Sure can. General admission is for suckers. Elvis didn't do no GA, baby.
Fuck no, man. Oh, shit.
So until next week, my friends, Monday. We drop new episodes every Monday. Subscribe on Apple, on Spotify. Get them right to your phone as soon as they drop. And join us next week for 3,000 Miles to Graceland. Until then, be kind and rewind. Did you have the card for that belt buckle, Smith?
Oh, yeah. It's right here, man. Call him up. Come on. Diamonds? Do we want to go real diamonds or fake diamonds? What's
rhinestones.
Rhinestones? Fuck yeah. Let's do rhinestones. Okay. And it's Elvis II, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
And if I could get two. If I could get a belt buckle with some velvet on it.
Yeah, I like it. Velvet.
Thank you, man.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.